Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Eliza Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's beunique.org.
Good morning, everybody. Hi, welcome to another great show, Be Unique and Scripted. This is Gene Albertson. I'm here with our guest, Casey Rivera. She's an Orlando native and Valencia College student of graphic art, interactive design, here to join us today and tell us about her work with Be Unique and her involvement. If you'd like to give us a call and join the conversation, we'd love to have you here. You can give us a call at 516-418-5651. And my co-host, Mary, will likely be joining us. She's not here with us right now. However, Casey had a brief interaction with her that we might be having some technical difficulties. Casey, hi. I've spoken, and I'd like to hear from you. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fabulous. I, to be honest, have never had an opportunity quite like this in my life. And let me just say, I'm so excited to hear, like, to have people hear me talk and to not, like, get bored, or because I'm a very talkative person, and I just love what I do so much. And this is a way to ring it in and really also while enjoying myself and just speaking from my heart. So this is amazing. Excellent. Thank you for having me.
Well, sure. And that's what we're here for, is exactly for that, to give you that opportunity. We were actually, just before we got on the show, we were talking about the exact same thing that brought us together, standing right here today, was Be Unique magazine, and specifically Jennifer East and your work with her. And I got involved because she's doing a film about an organization that I'm working with, separate from Be Unique. And so why don't we go ahead and just start right there real quick. And you were telling me a little bit about your experience with working with Jennifer and Be Unique magazine.
Yes. Okay. So I guess I could go into how I even started to meet Jennifer, if everyone would like to hear that story, Jennifer and Mary, because
sure.
It's a very unique one.
Sure.
So my mother, Judy, she works at this little shop called Greeks and More. It's by the University of Central Florida in Orlando. And mm-hmm. they do a lot of custom garments and fabrics, and they work with companies that need their shirts embroidered, or that they need custom, like, team member, like, uniforms. So Jennifer and Mary happened to stumble upon our shop because we're one of the few people in the area in Central Florida that does what we do. I've worked mm-hmm. there, actually, sorry, speaking from experience. And my mother was working the front counter and helping them with their order, and they were just hitting it off. And, of course, like, as my mother does, like, as all great mothers do, she boasts about her children. So she started talking about me when Jennifer had mentioned that she does graphic design, and they had started talking about their nonprofit. And so my mother's like, oh, my gosh, my daughter, she does graphic design, and she's looking for an internship. And she just loves – she works with other nonprofits, and she would just love to, like, get to know more about you. So Mary was like, I've heard enough. Here's our business card. They both put their numbers on it. And the next thing I knew, I had just started looking, like, a week into my internship for opportunities, like, into mm-hmm. the entire process. And she just hands in this business card, and she goes, you better call these ladies. They're amazing. The first thing she mentions is they both have blue hair, and so nice. Yes. She's like, they both look like, and your free spirit. so just give them a call. And I was laying face down on the couch, and I was like, all right, sure. And she's like, no, 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 no. She's like, get up and call them.
I want
you to call them, like, tomorrow. And I was like, all right. I finally listened to my mother, and I was like, okay. So I called them, and we just hit it off. It was extraordinary. It's just so unlikely.
That's awesome. Well, you know, I think the thing that you would mention the word, and then of course the name of what we're doing is Be Unique. That, and then the blue hair, and I have to tell you, that's something that I saw right off, and something that always has struck me was the fact that they were wearing blue and green together in the hair. And that ever since I can remember, I was told as a little kid I shouldn't wear blue and green together, but I always did. And so every time I ever saw it and had the opportunity to wear it and stuff, I always have. And it just, for some reason, that struck me kind of across the room. About
Exactly. It's like they live and breathe Be Unique down to the color of their hair. And the great thing about it is that it's a talking point. It gets people interested when you have unique features. And, of course,
unique.
Mary, being the electric spirit, yes, there it
mm-hmm.
is. And she's such an electric spirit, and so is Jennifer. And, like, that gets people talking to them no matter where they are. It's just little things like that that start the conversation, allow them to talk about what they do.
Exactly. Get people's attention. Now let me ask you this too then. As a designer, you talked about having the common interest. How do you think it's helped you as a designer to be a volunteer? You mentioned the word heart more than once. How does that kind of fit in with the working with Be Unique and your idea as a designer and coming and doing it from your heart?
So I think the beauty and design that I've learned through my education is that a great professor, Amanda Kern, she taught us in one of the first classes I took at Valencia, the greatest project that you can do and will do as a designer are those that you don't receive money for. You work with projects and organizations that you're passionate about, because it really allows you to become not only a part of your community, it's a great networking opportunity, and most importantly, you can work from a place of compassion and empathy for what you're doing. And, you know, although we are conveying a message through someone else's vision in terms of design, we're visually conveying something, we're communicating to the audience of our clients. This is a way to not only do that, but to do it with your own personal view of this organization. You know, I put my heart into what Be Unique is, because not only does their message align with a lot of the, like, beliefs and the behaviors and just, like, the methods in which I live my life, but they are doing it in such a way that I've never really had the opportunity of. Like, I have never thought of giving other people a voice, but then I realized that they're giving people a voice in a similar way I'm giving a brand or a person a voice through my design. So it's just another form of communication. And when I put my heart into it, I find myself being so excited and so willing to, like, take what Be Unique is saying and just make it a reality. Give
sure.
their audience something to interact with that's really special. And so I didn't realize how important that was sitting in that class until I started working with nonprofits and giving my time and not worrying about where the money was coming from, but worrying about applying my, but taking my skills and applying my skills into something that was so much greater than me. And that the payback from that, or the what I would get from it, is so much gratitude and love. And it's just, to me, so much more, like, it's so much more important than getting a paycheck. It's using what I've known I've always had to just give to something greater. It's more than myself, and I just love that.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, you know, and I listened to you talk, and you say that, and I want to tell you that I've come through a lot of different things in my life. I'm 57, and really had to come to a lot of understandings to make myself kind of do what you're wanting to do. And it's just the whole idea to be able to do things from your heart. I've had people say, do what you love, the money will follow. You know, as I'm struggling trying to do my job and my work hours a day, and just not, I'm enjoying the people I'm doing, enjoying parts, but it's just not from my heart. And and you're describing the ability to be able to just do your heart and be able to follow that your whole life. And that's something that I had struggled to. And now, half a century later, I'm getting there to do that, and to see young folks like you doing it. It's just that's one of my rewards of getting involved, and to watch you enjoy doing it and trading it out there. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, not to put you on the spot, but can you give me some of the examples, specific examples, where you've been able to take other people's designs through your work with the nonprofits and how you do your work and them express what they want to express through your tools and your heart. Any ideas there?
Of course. I could give an example. I mean, I could give several examples of work I've done for Be
Sure.
Unique.
Sure.
I was able to work on a very special project with Mary and Jennifer for one of their events, Spirit Fest, that happened earlier this year. In the spring, and it was such a unique event. I've never been to like any metaphysical events or spiritual related events, and B&E had a booth there. And one of the many products we were advertising for donations, like in the sense, I mean, like it's a product that we'd create, and then people would provide donations for the nonprofit, and they could receive the product depending on the level of their donation. And the product we were actually working on was called Guidance Discs. And the great thing about guidance discs is that they're kind of like miniature versions of tarot cards, in a sense, where if you have a question that you want to send out into the universe, it doesn't have to be physically, it could be mentally, you ask yourself this question. It's more complicated than like a yes or no question. It's a why or a how. It's like a goal that you've been working on or a vision of yours that's just stewing in your mind. And what you do is these guidance discs are a set of 21 symbols, common symbols that we may know, like the man and the woman, fire and water. And the great thing about these symbols is they're all connected to a meaning that Mary herself has used her wisdom and has used her spiritual experience to write out the meaning of each of these discs. And so what you do is they are in this adorable drawstring bag, and you ask your question. Usually you interact with someone, or you can do it yourself. It's two people or a single person. And you reach in and you pull out three discs. And with your question ready, you lay them out. And whichever order they appear in, you read out the meaning. And as you're going along, it helps you. It's really a moment to reflect with that question and to find, like, literally guidance in what you're looking for. And I had the opportunity of visualizing these symbols because Mary and Jennifer had practiced this before. But they wanted a version of these guidance discs that spoke more to each of their meanings. They wanted more detailed illustration. They wanted their vision to become something, just to take it to the next level. And also they wanted illustrations that they could carry out into other things and be unique. And so I was like, oh, I'd love this opportunity because I'm a digital illustrator. Like, this is my thing. I got into design because I am a fine artist. So I had the opportunity, yes, of not only illustrating and actually physically assembling these discs. What we did is I illustrated the designs. I scaled them down very small. We assembled them by, literally printing. I printed sheets after sheets, and then we cut them out and attached them to these wooden discs by hand. It was awesome. And the whole part of the experience I just thought would be production. I was like, oh, I'm going to illustrate these discs. I'm going to print them, and I'm going to help assemble them and print these little booklets to go with them. And then that'll be the end of my job as a designer. I was wrong. We got the Spirit Fest. And I actually had to demonstrate how the disc worked to people that I'd never met before, just passerbys and strangers. And I
That's
got to do
the
readings.
Beauty of it, Casey. I'm here,
oh,
folks.
Hi, Mary.
Oh, hi.
My angel.
Welcome.
That's the beauty of working with those discs is you are a total stranger. There's absolutely no connection. There's no history. They don't know you. You don't know them. So when you hit one of their nerves with those guidance discs, they know there's some truth to that. It's not just some, it's not just some random person doing generic astrology or, oh, well, this card could mean this or it could mean that. No, it is spot on, and they know it because you're a total stranger. And I wasn't at that event, Jean, but I heard Casey absolutely rocked it. Jennifer and Lynn both told me she did such a good job with that.
Excellent.
I was told I rocked it too, but I kind of blacked out during some of the readings out of nervousness. But I was told I did a great job. And
the first time I did it, I definitely blacked out because the stuff was not coming from me. It was coming from the universe. Just like you had mentioned earlier, and you were so very, very kind, but when I created the messages that go with each disc, I meditated and I wrote them down and I sent them off to Jennifer. I said, is this what you're thinking about? And she said, oh my God, Mary, have you read this? I mean, I wrote it, but sometimes you don't read what you write. That is weird.
Right.
And so when I went back and I read it again, I'm like, oh, I didn't write that. I don't remember writing that. But it was because it was from the divine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm so glad to be here with y'all.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to hear your voice. Let me tell you, Mary is one of the most wild, but so tamed in her compassion and her love for people. And I'm just like, the second I saw this woman, I was like, I know exactly who I want to be when I'm older. I want to take the world on. I want people to come up to me because it's my wild and crazy and beautiful hair and just ask me about, like, what are you doing? What's your vibe? And just, I've never wanted to hug somebody and, like, give them my love so much. Like, the only other person I can think of is my mother and my kindergarten teacher. So I was just like, come here and give me love, please. I can't stand not being around you. But I guess I should.
Well, we'll have to find ways to get you involved more, especially now that we're still, you know, I know that some places are opening, but we're still locked down as much as we can be because this virus isn't over.
Sure.
But, I know some of the things that we do as a group, Casey, on Zoom, are on hours that you're working, but you and I can get together anytime. You know that, through telephone or Zoom, and we can just talk. We don't have to have an appointment.
Well, you know, though, Mary and Casey, that just struck me right now. Talk about something to do that we all could use our talents to do. I had the idea this morning. Why don't we have a parade? You know, and Mary and I have talked about doing the Hokey Pokey worldwide. Why don't we make a giant parade and everybody in every neighborhood get out on COVID-free day in about 90 days and everybody in every neighborhood have a parade? You know, I'll take a pot and a pan and let's do it, you know. And
I still want to do that Hokey Pokey. I still need to tell you about that one dance that I know about. You're going to love it.
I want to hear about it. I've been trying to find it on the internet, and I think I might have found something about it, but I do want to hear all about it.
But I want to get back to Casey because she's so amazing.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job, Jean. Thank you so much. I cannot tell you. I'm still fighting with my sound, my microphone. I don't know what's going on. My laptop microphone's not working. My headset's not working. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to call in. So I had to mute my speaker so that I don't have feedback, but there's always a workaround, and I am the queen of workarounds.
Excellent.
Yes, you are.
But you guys, you're rocking the show. I almost didn't want to call in because I was really enjoying listening to the show. but I tell you what, this is a perfect time for me to take a quick break for an ad, and I'll be right back. And if anybody else wants to call in, we'll get you in the show, 516-418-5651.
Only once every few years does a show come along that makes you think, makes you care, makes you believe the impossible. A show featuring only the best in writing, acting, and directing. Until that show comes along, we suggest Paranoria, Texas. Thrill to the adventures of six super-powered nerds on a never-ending quest to take over the world and to complete their collection of She-Hulk comics. Paranoria, Texas, Monday nights at 8 p.m. Central on AstronetRadio.com.
All right, Jean, you're doing such a good job. Continue. Carry on, my friend.
Oh, well, you know, what we were talking a lot about the we got into the talking about the disc through things that Casey was doing, using her powers for good, for the nonprofit, the unique. And you said you had a couple of different examples, and the discs sound interesting. And you had another one you wanted to talk about?
Yes, actually. It's with another nonprofit that I've worked with before, Be Unique, and I'm continuing to work with now. They're called Redefining Spina Bifida. And it's actually founded by the very professor I mentioned who talked to us about nonprofit work, Amanda Kern. And the great thing about her organization is that, like many nonprofits, it speaks directly to her heart, because spina bifida is, I don't know if anyone's familiar with it, but it's a condition, a genetic condition that children are born with. And it's something that happens where their spinal column doesn't fully form during the gestation period, so that when they're born, there's a lot of physical disabilities that come with having that condition. And a lot of it is, for example, in mobility issues, physically walking. A lot of children with spina bifida rely on wheelchairs or some form of mobility device. Also, they have difficulty with their spinal fluid, and so it involves a lot of surgery for the head, the brain, the neck, and the spine. So these children, upon birth, are very dependent upon their caretakers, but also they're dependent upon their community, because it's so important to support not only these children, but the families of children born with spina bifida, because it's a very big journey. It's something that you can't do on your own. So her nonprofit provides not only resources and education for families of children born with spina bifida, but they're there almost every step of the way. Even like I see Amanda.
Spina bifida.
Yeah.
Spina bifida is one of those things that you don't outgrow.
No, it stays with you your entire life. It's something that it's just a part of who you are, in a sense that it doesn't define you, but it is something that, you know, the whole family puts their energy into helping this child grow. And as an adult, they learn independently also to take care of them. They learn more and more how to take care of themselves when you know, every single day is a new journey for them, no matter how old they are, who they are, and where they grow up. So,
it sounds like to live with spina bifida, you really have to need help in all sorts of things, the mobility, the dealing with it, also the medical as well, the medical situation.
Exactly.
Forever.
The medical situation is one of the biggest challenges. And Amanda, the great thing about her is that she's not only removing a lot of the stereotypes and the stigma surrounding this, but she's also saying, I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you emotionally, physically, and there's a community that I'm trying to build, and they're all standing behind you too. And there needs to be a positivity around this, because a lot of when they get their diagnosis during pregnancy, the mothers, there's a lot of almost, they don't mean it to be this way, but the medical world, there's almost like a negativity that comes with it. Like, I'm sorry your child has this, or I'm sorry that you have to deal with this, or this is what you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
Instead, Amanda wants to put her own light and positivity into it. She wants to be there along with the parents educationally, being like, yes, this is something you've been diagnosed with, but this is only the start of a beautiful journey, and this is the hope.
Yeah.
And I want to show you children who will be like your children, who are great at what they do. These are happy, healthy kids with great families, and they're supported. And I want these new families with these children to see that this is what their life can be like with spina bifida. It's not it's not a negative sentence. It's an opportunity for them to
like
join something greater.
Welcome to the community. Welcome to us, to our group, as opposed to, I'm so sorry you have to deal with this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And
very
Amanda,
nice.
She actually, her third child, Chance, who's actually now, I believe he's 8 or 9, I met him around the time he was 5, he has spina bifida, and that's how her journey started. She has 3 children, and Chance is the youngest, as I said, and she got her diagnosis. And at first, I'm sure for her, it was such a, like, you know, it's shocking. It's something that you've never even heard of it until you realize that you have a child that's been diagnosed with it. But she took that opportunity to make Chance's life extraordinary. And that kid, let me tell you, he's just so special, and everything he does, he's so active, and she does everything. He's involved in like 5 different sports, for example. He is one of the most loved kids in his class at his public school. He's got so much energy. The first time I saw him, he was whipping around the store that I work at, Publix. And I was just like, who is this kid racing his brother in the store? He's adorable. Look at him go. Like, he's so happy. And I had no idea that we had a connection at all through his mother. And that was the beginning of our journey. So
that's
really
cool.
Special.
And
stop me if I'm going on too long, but I can get into the project I was actually working on with Redefining Spina Bifida.
Sure. That's what we're here for.
How old was Chance at that time when you first met him?
I believe he was around, when I got officially introduced, he was around 6 years old when I met him for the first time. Yeah, and he was just so shy, but his mom was like, say hi to Casey, because she already knew me from class. And he's like, no, I don't think I will. And I was like, sorry, but... I was like, that's okay, bud. I'm a stranger in a grocery store. That's fine. But I'm sure we'll see each other later down the road. And we literally did. And he opened up to me a little bit more. And I got to learn so much more about him the more time I spent with Amanda working on this project, which actually the project that I started was a memory book. It was about 80 pages. And it was created through this printing, well, I created it, but it was printed through this company called Blurb that does a lot of books for families.
I know Blurb.
Businesses. Yes, Blurb is the best. I love them. They're going to help me with my portfolio too. So anyway, there's this beautiful woman. Her name is Helen Leon. And the story starts with the Children's Neurological Center at Orlando Health. And she is this amazing woman who donated over $5 million to the Children's Neurological Center. The Neurological Center helps so many children because, like I mentioned, one of the main things they need is brain surgery or surgery of the head and neck. Almost upon birth or in the first, as Chance, he's had more surgeries. He's had, like, I believe up to like over 10 surgeries in, the short time he's been alive. And a lot of those require intensive, neurological research, and he spends so much time in those hospital wings getting therapy, getting consultations. So many children with spina bifida rely on resources like that. And so Helen was so generous to donate that money, but also her time and her compassion. And Redefining Spina Bifida wanted to show her just how much she's impacted these children. They wanted to show her who these faces of these kids were that she's helped and, what the future of these kids will look like and who she will continue to help. So Amanda came up with this amazing idea to create this book for her. And Amanda is also a photographer, and she takes photos of all the children from, of course, with their parents' consent, from these community events that she goes, the families that she impacts. And so she has a huge gallery of just beautiful smiling faces of little kids, anywhere from the age of like toddlers to like adults who have worked with spina bifida for a while or have benefited from being a part of the community. And I was able to put that together and just put my heart into it. The funny thing is about this this project is that she called me randomly while I was sitting on the floor at work at Valencia at like 7 o'clock at night, and she's like, I have something I want you to work on. Can you come to my house? And I was like, what? She's like, can you come over now? Because I need you now because I'm having a meeting with these parents. Am I being like punked? Is this like a... and she's like, no, just come over. And so I called my mom and I was like, I think my professor wants me to go to her house. And she's like, are you sure you want to go? And I was like, I mean, I trust her. This is someone I've, worked with for over 2 years, I'm just going to go. And that's how the opportunity started.
Nice.
And through this book, I didn't realize the impact I had. And I just was laying out pictures and photos. And also the great thing about this book is that almost every photo was paired with an illustration hand done by a child at this event called Walk and Roll, which is something that Redefining Spina Bifida and other organizations that work with families with spina bifida try to do every year. And it's this big, it's usually in like a park or an open area, and they set up a booth, and they had a little part of the booth that allowed the children to write their own thank you letter to Helen or to create an illustration. And it's just so cute, as you know, as an older artist, to see all these children's colorful, beautiful artwork, and they put their little hearts into it, and I was just so moved, and I was able to pair that artwork with the photo to help bring how much love there was for Helen and appreciation into view. And I didn't realize, you know, it made me emotional. Like when I saw it after it printed, I sure. didn't realize that something that I had been working on for months would just mean so much until I was holding it in my hands. And it was really special.
That's tangible. Mm-hmm. You know,
yes,
there's something
tangible.
About that tangible feeling that where a lot of people may not. And I find that that's true with Be Unique as well. People like the digital, but they also love that physical paper, the tactile sensation of it in their hand. And that's probably why the manifest discs and being at these events were so personal for you, Casey, because it gave you that one-on-one personal touch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize, like I think I mentioned earlier, I didn't realize also this, not only the physical aspect of the guidance disc, but actually sitting through the process of doing reading, I didn't realize how much of my own personal heart and like compassion and ability to listen to other people, how much that combined with the physical aspect of this, how much it impacted people. If I may share a little like snippet, there was this young girl at the Spirit Fest event. She was about 11, I'd say, and she came up with her mother. And usually, like, my interaction with children is that they're shy. And, like, I just say nice things and we talk about school or sports. But she sat down and she's like, I want to do a reading. And I was surprised. It was, like, my youngest person yet. I was like, okay, I don't talk to kids that often, but I got this. And we pulled the discs, and one of her discs was, I believe it was the cross. And she also had the fire symbol. And when I pulled out the cross, we were just talking lightly about her school and her struggle with sports. And when that disc came out, she started to get teary-eyed when I asked her if this added clarity to her question. And she started crying because she just started bawling. And I'm like, oh, no, I made this kid cry. Like,
oh, no.
I was like, Jennifer, help. And I was like, are you okay? And she's like, no, I'm crying because I'm happy. This is a good cry. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And she said a friend of hers had taken her own life early, the last year. And I was shocked. I was like, I can't believe not only is this young girl sharing this with me, but she wants to talk about this. So we talked about it. And I shared experience with her. I had lost a friend recently. And so we're just talking. And she's like, she's going through the motions of how she felt and what she experienced, and she was talking about her ability to cope with loss. And suddenly I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, I created these illustrations going into this thinking that this would have, yes, it would have impact, but I wouldn't be able to see it myself because, like I said, I'm used to the production side of things.
Wow.
But sitting there connecting with this complete stranger and this younger girl, her trust in me and her trust in the guidance and the symbols and their meaning, it shocked me, and I started crying too because, like, I just was so overwhelmed with positive emotion. So it just allowed me to realize that my work can be so much greater than just illustrating or printing and, you know, getting things out to press. It's an impact that I didn't realize I had until this moment.
Well, you get to see the final result, the emotional result, rather than just, oh, I'm making some pretty pictures.
Yes, exactly. These symbols with connected with the beautiful words that you wrote and you meditated on. It's such a little force, you know. It's something, and it drove me. I'm like, okay, what's next? What's our next project? Who can we impact next? Who can we whose hearts can we open up and change next? Like, I was just like, let's go.
Yeah.
pedals.
Well, you know,
you've
actually done that in a with similar thing with those prints, because you gave us two or three prints that we raffled off, or people took the opportunity to win them, and it brightened their day. I was able to see two of the people that got them, and they were just so excited. And I don't know, it's amazing to see something that you've created bring joy to other people. And
yes,
that's how I feel about Be Unique. Every time I hear somebody tell me what it means to them, and I'll be honest, Jean is kind of like our biggest, I can't tell you, it just means the world to me to have Jean here, because like today, you guys couldn't tell if I was even on the show, and I'm sitting there screaming at my computer going, what's going to happen? And if Jean hadn't been there and just picked up the gauntlet and run with it, then the show would have just fizzled out and I'd have had to reschedule. We've had that happen before when I had no co-host. But even when I've had a co-host before Jean came along, it was like, well, Mary's not here. What am I supposed to do? I'm not really sure if I should go forward or not. And Jean just picked it up and ran. And I love that about you. And, you know, there's something really amazing when two nonprofits like Green Gables and Be Unique, and then we get to be exposed to people like Casey that just bring life to everything. Because I know Casey helped Jennifer with, I think you helped her with the poster for the Forgotten Enchantress, didn't you?
So what I helped Jennifer with was they did the showing at FIT of the documentary, and I helped her with some of the raffle experience from Spirit Fest really drove the idea of we could do more raffles with artwork or with commemorative print pieces. So I actually did two commemorative, frameable pieces that showed photos of Green Gables in its glory back in through different periods. For example, one of them was an 11 by 11, and it showed about 6 to 8 photos of Green Gables' house in different stages. Once upon the first time it was built by the Wells family, and then later when additions were added, all the way up to the photos that Jennifer took recently of the actual house. And I did two photos of Mr. and Mrs. Wells, and then the logo that had been created for Green Gables. And so I created both those commemorative prints that she could raffle off at the showing. And I wasn't there for it because it was a little far away, and I think I had something that day. But she said that it drove home the beauty of Green Gables, and that this is something that we care so deeply about.
I missed the opportunity to go to that too also because I had an injury. And it really was frustrating because everything that we'd been doing up to that point, I was really excited about going to every one of those events. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden COVID came along and just waylaid everything. Mm-hmm. But my understanding is this past weekend they had, I don't know what you call it, but it was like a drive-by donation type stuff.
And
where
aware.
People were standing on the sidewalks.
Awareness a day.
Awareness.
Green Gables awareness, yes.
And I know that you made a little bit of money that way, and we've got like 10 days left. And
and the best part about it was is like we're just talking about, it builds on more and builds on more. We made some great donations, but we also got a big newspaper article this morning from one of the local Florida Today, I believe it is. It's one of the local newspapers.
Yeah,
so
that's really good.
So yeah, it all works.
Yeah, that you can't go wrong with that. That exposure is. It just takes one more person to make a difference. And last night, every Sunday night, we have a manifest event on Zoom. And we've been doing this for a while. And so when we got down to the wire, you know, everybody has an opportunity to request something to be manifested. So what we did is we came up with this statement for Green Gables. Green Gables receives the full purchase price for the house well in advance of the deadline. And boom, that's it. You know, we just have to snap our fingers, clap our hands, tap our toes, and put some action on this, and the universe is going to take it and run.
And so it is.
And so it is, indeed.
Yeah. We're ready. We're ready to get going here.
I just logged in to the Florida Today page, and the Green Gables is on their front of their website.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
Who's this guy with a recorder? I don't know if I know him.
Some dude.
He says John Daly playing the flute. That is not John Daly, and that is not a flute.
That's okay.
Good pictures, though.
Isn't it? And, you know, I have to say that, and it struck me of something that Casey said a second ago when she used the word smiles, and everybody smiles and sharing the smiles in her book. That is exactly what hit me when I saw that picture this morning. The first thing I saw when I opened up my phone and my coffee to start reading, and there was a whole bunch of smiles right there, first page. And guess who's in the front?
Jennifer.
Smiler.
She's
smiling bigger than Marion, even.
Yeah. How is that? It's just smiles across the board, and the smiles that in Casey's book. That's what it's all about. I think that's it. The hokey pokey and smile, and then everything else is just going to come with it. You know.
So, you know, we could do the hokey pokey right here, right now, right?
Well,
you put your right hand in, you take your right hand out, you put your right hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around, and that's what it's all about. Boom, boom.
It's like a manifesting dance. You just got to let that positive energy out and send
Absolutely.
It out to the universe in such a silly, right way. If I could take a moment.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Gene, please.
Well, I just was going to say that with that very thought, I always tell the little kids when we start doing the hokey pokey, I said, now be careful not to get too crazy, because you have to tell the kids that, or they do, but you have to get a little crazy. And so, but then they always got to know, you got to get a little crazy. That's part of the deal, you know, and I think that's
what we all have. A little crazy is really good.
Yeah, and I think that's what we do, every day. Get attention, you know, and tell people from our heart, you know, we're getting a little bit crazy. Anyway, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
No, please.
It had to come out.
No, I love that so much. And actually, to expand upon your point, it's like you have to – that little dance is so silly, but it teaches kids to put themselves out there and to really just – to not be afraid to show their passion even in a little silly way. And speaking of people who really just – a person, actually, who puts themselves out there in every possible way that she can, the Jennifer East has inspired me so much through her work with Green Gables and her fight to keep such a historic, beautiful place alive, because she is using everything – her and Mary are using everything in their arsenal in combination with Marianne Ambrose to really save this place, because – They've helped me realize this hidden gem I never even knew about, that this house is so important to the community, and Jennifer wanted to drive that home with her documentary. And actually, the documentary premiere, Red Carpet premiere, was one of the first events I've been to at the Unique, and I really got to meet Mary for the first time and sit down with her, and as well as some other amazing women that work with the Unique and with Green Gables. And I just realizing that she not only used her power as a graphic designer, but she used her power as a photographer, as a director. She pulled out every tool in her toolbox.
And a leader.
She's a leader. And I think it's so important for her to realize that her voice in combination with the Uniques and with Mary has so much more power than she knows. And I just I just want to be a person like that, that not only uses my art and my gift, but I want to use my voice and I want to channel my rambling into something that matters. And I want to work on an amazing project like Green Gables and to donate all of my time and passion when I can into something that really, in the end, it'll benefit generations. It just doesn't mm-hmm. work for now. It's something that it's going to impact the future in such a great way. And so that's taught me so much that, like, I don't think any other internship opportunity could teach me.
Awesome. Using your powers
I'm
for
glad
good.
To hear that.
And I can't wait to sit and drink tea on that beautiful porch because that to me, I'll be like, when I can hear that house breathe and I can see the beautiful people, you know, working in action to give me, like, they offered Miriam, was like, you come and have a tour. I'll make tea for you on the porch. I'll sit down with you. And I was like, if there's nothing more that I want than to actually, like, walk on the front porch of this house and to see its true beauty in person, because the documentary, it was emotional for me, and to actually see this in person would complete it for me. It was really
awesome.
Make me so happy. Yeah. But yes, we must totally. Save Green Gables. I'm just so for it now. And every day I'm like screaming at the top of my lungs. I'm like, I'm manifesting too. I'm like, this house is safe for future generations. It is a place that people will continue to visit and enjoy, and Marion will meet all of her goals, and Dean has helped her and will help her. They are. It's not even will. They are.
It's already done.
Yeah.
Well, I
want to say that the thing I said about the Forgotten Enchantress film, and the first time I saw it, immediately what came to mind was the fact that this film – literally and completely and well speaks the heart of everybody that I personally know that's involved in this, the dozens and dozens of people and the hundreds of people who've seen it and the thousands of people who've walked through it. It speaks their heart and it speaks my heart. And it's just such a, and we can send it anywhere and everybody can see it, you know, because you and Jennifer and Marion and I and all can't get there to tell them about it. The film does it. It's amazing. From the heart, again, back again, be unique and heart and smile. Those words all keep coming up all day.
nothing wrong with that, because that's where the high frequencies are. And, you know, you hear people talk about raise your frequency and you get what you want. Our manifest thing last night, I keep going back to this because I am changing every time I do something like this. We talked about how to raise your frequency, and really and truly all you have to do to raise your frequency, which is where you manifest, is stay in a state of peace, love, and joy. And avoid being angry and bitter and jealous and feeling, you know, a sense of guilt, because those are the lower frequencies. And that's what I love about working with you, Gene, because you don't know about low frequencies, it doesn't seem like. You're always up, and any time I've ever met Casey, met her even just on a Zoom conference or whatever, she's always like a ray of sunshine. And she said the first time she and I met in person, we could have, I think the world ceased to exist outside of our little bubble. Because we sat and we talked for probably a half hour or more.
Nice.
Just getting to know each other. And signed off our mutual admiration association membership card. And there we go. That's all we needed.
Very nice. Very nice.
I think we talked for so long that the manager of the theater was giving us death stares and threatening to kick us off the porch.
I do believe I remember somebody said, well, you don't have to go home, but you have to get off the balcony.
Exactly.
You know, because they were trying to close up, and we basically closed the place down. And it's not often that you find somebody that you just – not the first time I met you, Gene, but – second or third time that we, because the first time we were busy, we were all working. But when we were there,
is that me?
Mary.
Maybe
the message
we
lost
of Mary
into the
we
void.
Lost. Well, I was. Well, you know, I want to go ahead and with that thought in mind, I was thinking about the first time Mary and I had met. That really struck me was just again, I saw the blue and the green combination on the hair, and I thought, you know, it drew me. And just talking about what she was doing, she I told me a little bit why they were there. I didn't even know at the time. And I just was drawn to what they were doing there, even though I was already at Green Gables, didn't know they were there to save it, to help save it. I don't know. I was drawn into the whole energy of everything. So, well, I'll tell you, I don't know if Mary's going to be able to join us.
Can you not hear me?
Oh, there we are. There we are.
Yay!
Okay. Hi.
I guess I must have faded out, but I'm right here.
Okay.
So y'all just keep on praising me. I love it. I'm not gonna argue with that. Tell me how wonderful I am. Tell me why you love Be Unique.
Well, you are, you know, and I think we've all pretty much kind of today. I hear it, Casey and me both. It's just, you know, you guys are doing what sounds like Casey wants to do is just share and help and use our powers for good. I think, and as a matter of fact, I think I said either to you or Jennifer real early in our relationship that I'm sitting here, I finally figured out what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, but I wasn't sure exactly how to go about it. And I look up and here's Be Unique and you guys are doing it. So, you know, I figured I'll just
hear that a lot. And yeah. I think it's because what we're doing, when we first started this, Jennifer and I thought we were just going to do another magazine.
Sure.
And then it grew into Be Unique. It became something of its own because we couldn't decide. We knew we wanted to have philanthropy involved in our business plan, but we didn't know how or who. And we couldn't narrow it down. After we got down to like 40 different organizations, we could not narrow it down to who we wanted to work with. That mm-hmm. was before we ever heard about Green Gables. Mm-hmm. And now we're able to work with so many organizations and keep doing the things that we want to do. And we can help one, we can focus on one at the time, or we can focus on 30 at the time. And it still helps everybody.
Sure. Well, and you and I have talked about this particular theme of Tom Sawyer and the White Picket Fence. And
yeah.
And now here you and Jennifer had this idea, and now you've brought me over and showed me how much fun it is to get me in that, and you're going to give me a chance to paint the fence. And now here Jennifer's taught Casey how much fun it is to paint the designer fence over there.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got us for life, no matter whatever happens, you know, whatever else we're doing. So
And you know, what I love about it is Jennifer's daughter, Anna, who I know you've gotten a chance to meet a little bit more closely over the weekend.
She's dynamite.
She's another person like Casey. She was just born on the sun. And I feel like we're grateful that a little ray of sunshine came down and stayed with us. She mm-hmm. does a podcast every Tuesday night called Here I Am. And it's just an amazing show. The first time she did it by herself, and then the last two times she's had a guest. And she'll flop back and forth between, you know, just doing the show by herself, talking, kind of like an opinion show, and then having a guest on that they share ideas and thoughts. But it's so cool because – Just like the other night, you and Tony took over the show with Elisa. I love being able to open the door and say, come on in. This is my house, but it belongs to all of us. And that's what Be Unique mm-hmm. is. It's an opportunity to let everybody shine.
Mm-hmm.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Well, I mean, so, if people ask me what being unique is, I have bottom line is it's that you guys go out and find amazing people that are doing amazing things and then tell everybody about it. And
pretty much, yep. We highlight world changers. And it's even more than that. It's a movement. It's become a movement on its own. And
exactly.
I fully believe within another year, the name Be Unique is going to be even more widely known. I mean, this show right now is heard in 25 different countries.
Wow.
And
well, that's
we've
pretty
only,
awesome.
It is very awesome considering we've only been doing this show since November of last year. We did have a radio show. We were borrowing a slot. We borrowed like Anna is using our Tuesday night. We had a slot on another, you know, one of our board member shows, Yvonne Mason. She has a show called Off the Chain. And we started out one Thursday night, then it was two Thursday nights, then it was every Thursday night. And we were doing that show, but it was still, if you looked it up, you would find Yvonne Mason Off the Chain. It had nothing to do with Be Unique. So as a board, we decided that we needed to branch out and brand ourselves, which is what we've done. And in, what is that, 5-6 months, we've been heard in 25 different countries. Almost 1,000 people have listened to our shows.
Wow.
I think we're doing phenomenally well.
And nice, yeah.
You know what, I'm going to say right now, I'm going to add a little commercial here because I think it's important for our listeners to know what they can do if they like the show. Besides calling in, 516-418-5551.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together to change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BUNEKE.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.
And we're back. I think there's one more question that you need to ask Casey. Am I right? Or did you get through all your questions?
Well, we kind of jumped around a little bit. I think to really wrap up the things that we had kind of wanted to bring up, and kind of what we were talking about is going forward now for the future. And we've talked about being able to how we can share, use our passion to share your other people's message as well as our own. But I want to talk more about the generational. This is something that I'm particularly interested in spending some time on in my life, is helping to bridge the gap. I have to just quickly say, yesterday I was speaking with a young woman who's probably 21, 22 years old, and we were talking about trying to amplify music at this event next weekend. She has a little Bluetooth speaker, wireless, in her hand, and I have some big MTX Thunder Pro speakers, and I'm trying to figure out how to hook them up. And I looked at her, and I used the word coax connection, and I immediately saw the deer in the headlights look on her face. And I think that illustrates the fact that I had 8-track players, and I remember the invention of the coax cable, and it's so far beyond that now. So here we are, young individual with exactly the same feeling in your heart that I do at a half a century into my life. This is where I want to know, what do you think? What you and I can get together as generations, you know, and get things for a better future, I guess, is what I'm saying. That's what I'm after. And you seem like the kind of the same idea, you know?
Well, I would say in response to that, Gene, the biggest thing is removing the stereotype that people of different generations can't connect on things that they're passionate about. And the second I connected with Mary and Jennifer, age, after we started talking about what we were passionate about and how I could contribute to Be Unique, age was just a number. When I started to speak, we both started to speak from our experience and we both started to speak from things that we'd gone through in life, I realized that we weren't that different, and that the thing that we can provide is empathy, it's compassion, and it's education. We can inspire people together. And I think the beauty is we can use the wisdom and experience that you've experienced and the years that you've had to not only get to know yourself, but to get to know your community and things that matter in your community, combined with the new power and knowledge I've been given. And I have to think about this from perspective. I'm given this power and knowledge from my, and they all are, they're so diverse in their background and in their experience that we don't realize that the older generations, they're empowering us in ways that are, you know, going to class and just picking up course material is one thing. But if you really open your mind to what people are saying, you know, those who are above you, not only in age, but also they've lived through so much. When you really open your mind to what they have to say, it's much more powerful than just shutting someone down because of their age or their lack of experience or their lack of a newer, like, I guess you could say a newer perspective.
Sure.
So I, at a young age, was taught to not discriminate and in that way, and I was taught instead to provide my, you know, to open my ears, to provide my opinion where appropriate, and to also just relate to people on a different level, on a spiritual level, on a physical level, and also to realize that they, no matter who you are, you have something to offer someone as long as you're willing to listen first and then to ask questions later. So I realized that it's what I have to bring to the table, not what other people lack, that's more important than anything else. And I find actually through listening, like I said, and being compassionate, that I relate to a lot of people that are twice my age than I do people my own age. Because the second someone, I don't want to listen to this person because they're too much of a traditionalist. Their views are outdated. They don't know what they're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Those people, I immediately almost shut down when talking to those kind of people, because they haven't learned in the way that I've learned that no matter who that person is, they could have something to offer me. I just have to come to the table with no stereotype or conditions. And people have told me this. They've told me I've aged, like, you know, in an emotional and conversational way because of this, that they love talking to me. I've been told I'm an old soul, even though I don't quite know what that means because I fell off the turnip truck yesterday. But they told me
either.
That they just they just love talking to me because I've just ridden myself. I've cleaned out the ideas that we can't get along, which is what I've been told, and I hate it.
Yeah.
And
so thinking outside the box, maybe.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you know, when people talk about someone being an old soul, it just means that you're wise, that you're not closed-minded. That you're open enough, you've opened your heart up enough that you let other people in. I mean, we talk about it because we don't know how else to say, I see you and you see me, or namaste, you know. And I don't know that, it's like an old soul, it's a word that people, adults, or older adults will use for younger adults, or will use it for children, which is our way of saying, okay, you're not you don't have tunnel vision. You're willing to think outside the box. You're willing to think things through, and you don't ask these silly, frivolous questions like why all the time.
So,
but that doesn't necessarily mean you're old.
And what you're describing to me is I just kept thinking whippersnapper comes to mind. You're not a whippersnapper, you know.
Yeah.
And
I think people get really hung up on labels and titles we love to stereotype people because it makes it easy to manage. our own expectations of them. One of the things that I've learned to do is just enjoy the colors of their spirit. And if you think about it, you know, you've mentioned a couple times about how Jennifer and I both have red and green hair. Not red and green, but, you know, whatever, different colored hair.
Right.
I don't even know what color my hair is these days. but, you know, we're that's our way of showing our fealty to be unique. But also, one of the first articles I wrote for the magazine was about how to be unique. And I was trying to be clever, and I said, well, I'll strut my inner peacock as well as my outer peacock. And yep. What's so funny about that is if you guys didn't know me 20 years ago, you can't really understand what that means to me personally. Mm-hmm. 20 years ago, before I met my current husband, I was a wallflower. You would not see me in a crowd. You would not recognize me. I would be the quiet person doing the background stuff, and I'd duck away into the kitchen or the coat room as quickly as possible so I didn't have to be bothered by people. I didn't like the people, as they say. It was more of a reflection of my lifestyle at that point in time than it was who I really am. And one of the things when Jennifer and I started working on this, and I've been coming out of that shell for many, many years, but Be Unique actually helped me break free. And one of the things that I did was start dyeing my hair these blue and green colors and saying, I did it as a way of saying, hey, this is Be Unique, but it's also my way of strutting my peacock. We all have one. And we all strut our peacock in different ways. Some of us are very quiet and sit in the corner, like one person on the show right now who likes to draw a lot. That's how her peacock comes out, is when she's drawing and painting.
Hmm.
Yes.
But I'm going to work on that.
We can do it together. I've always wanted to teach someone, as long as they're willing to learn.
Very cool.
Hopefully that answered your question, but
yeah,
I would say it's a combination of things.
Absolutely.
It's hard because you go into every relationship with another person. It's a lot of times you have expectations, and you get, at least my feeling is, at least if everybody understands what we're talking about, the same thing. You know, and so what I'm hearing is the old soul is what you describe, and it's just respect for each other and maybe understanding that you don't know it all. I this is a theme to me that I want to explore going forward, is because I think about how many teenagers do you know, myself included, that it doesn't matter. And as a parent of teenagers, it doesn't matter what you tell them. Doesn't matter how common sense it is. There's some things you got to do yourself. You got to stick your finger in the light socket and see if it's really going to shock you or whatever. You know,
you know why that is, right, Gene?
Well, I think it's an instinctual kind of thing.
It's also because deep inside of each human being is a spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
And these spirits that live within us came here for the physical experience.
Mm-hmm.
We were born to feel these things and go through them. And, you know, all the books in the world cannot adequately explain to you what it feels like. I mean, I did a lot of research back in the day about scuba diving. I wanted to scuba more than anything in the world. I took one lesson and said, forget it.
Right.
And because that mixture of the nitrogen and oxygen and other things that are in the tank, if it's not exactly right, it's going to mess up your head.
Oh.
And there have been times that I've let my head get in the way of my body or the way of my spirit because I overthink, apparently. Never knew
right.
that until just now, I think. But we can read about brain surgery. We can read about rocket science. But until we actually do it, it's not the same thing. Like surfing. You know, you can read
right.
about surfers. You can look at pictures of surfers and videos all day long. But until you get out there, paddle out there, and stand up on that board and fall down a million times, you're not going to know what joy there is in that one moment.
Yeah,
that makes
exactly.
sense.
Exactly.
I think yeah. that's something that Casey experienced when she did her first manifesting with the spirit disc, the guidance
mm-hmm.
disc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to create these beautiful pieces of art and put those kits together. Because I know that was back during the time when my back was up and I couldn't even get to Orlando, but you guys were having a grand time putting the kits together. But then when you got to sit there and watch this little girl cry for joy,
mm-hmm.
you got
to
experience those discs on another level.
Yeah.
It.
Yep.
Yes, it was woke up a part of me that I didn't know was there. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, someone not only has sat down and listened to me talk for this long, but I've also been able to listen, and my words in combination with these discs meant something to her that I just never thought it was possible. I left
yeah.
feeling so like charged and ready to just help whoever I could and to channel, like I keep saying, channel my rambling into something greater than myself. That
sure.
I didn't
you don't
realize,
ramble.
Yeah.
You're very articulate.
And how many influences did you make that you didn't get to personally witness? You know, that's the exciting part, is that it's
well,
out there.
That
and
too.
It's all in there, and it's spreading it for you. That's cool.
And,
that's
you
so
know,
awesome.
I find there are people, this past week I've had 3 people actually reach out to me and say, you, through Be Unique, have made a difference in my life. But there are probably 3 times or 10 times or 100 times that many people that we've touched but don't bother to reach out for whatever reason. You know,
mm-hmm.
and people tend to complain when something goes wrong. They don't always praise when something goes right. And, I mean, if I made an editorial mistake, I can guarantee you somebody would be contacting me to say, you misspelled this word. But
mm-hmm.
if I do it right, they don't tell me. But
right.
when somebody does come back and say, you've made a difference in my life, then I kind of put a, I think go back to my algebra days and I put a square sign on that. And I assume that I've at least squared that number of people that have, that I've touched. If one tells
right,
me,
exactly.
then there's got to be at least 2 that I've made a difference in their life. And I think that's what this is all about, is making the world better one person at a time.
You know, that's so true. I just kept thinking of the book I read, Mitch Albom's book, The 5 People You Meet in Heaven. That was so powerful. Such
that was a good book.
It made me change the way I look at the next person I meet every day. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
Just. If you haven't read
that's
it,
a great book.
Good. The five people you meet in heaven. So I think
well,
about who is it going to be, you know, and I don't know. It might be Casey because you know I'm so excited to see what she's doing here and the likelihood, the sheer probability is she'll be doing it after I'm off doing something else in about another 50 years. So.
Well, we will definitely have the opportunity to sit down with each other much before then, Gene. So don't worry
oh, yeah,
about that
yeah.
at all.
At some point,
and,
definitely.
Yes. I also, because I'm continuing my journey with Be Unique, even after my internship has ended, I got my credit for it. I decided that there's no way I can't continue to be involved and give what I have to Be Unique because they've made such a powerful impression on me.
Thank you.
Sweet,
thank you. That means the world to me.
Well, I'm excited too. I don't think Mary even realizes just how much I'm going to hang around as much as I can here. This is just such a great thing. And we're new and we're taking off, and you know, it's going to be the big thing.
Yes.
The next big thing.
Yes,
like
it is.
Well, you know what, guys?
We've gone beyond our hour. And I could stay here and talk. We did this with Elisa the other night, and we talked for almost 2 hours. And the show just cut us off after 2 hours. It just said, "You're done. I'm not going to even let you play your exit song."
Yeah.
But
bye.
Casey, I'd love to have you come back on the show again.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can talk about what you're doing in other avenues as well. Because we didn't even touch on the Zebra Coalition today. And
I want to
talk about that sometime.
I would love to. And also talk about how my future involvement with also our magazine, too. Because Jennifer mentioned, she's like, we got to get you in the magazine. We have to get your words or your work in there. And you and Mary can collaborate on that. And also be a unique brand, too. Something Jennifer and I are working on, which I'm really excited to talk about.
How's that coming? I know I'm excited to get that brand guide.
Yes. So the brand guide, in terms of structure, Jennifer and I went back and forth trying to find a way to communicate to, I was thinking a lot from my design perspective, and suddenly I realized that maybe people don't know what typography means or what typesetting means or what negative space means. So we're trying to reform our structure of the brand guide to communicate to everyone, because Be Unique has such a diversity in its volunteer, in the types of volunteers and what they can contribute, that we need a guide that to them in a universal language. So I had to draw back a bit on the design language. I had to pull back from what I know from my experience of structuring a brand guide from my education. I have to pull back on that, almost like create.
You got to dumb it down.
Yes,
well, it's interpretation.
But I hate to call it that.
I know. You make it all inclusive.
Yeah. All inclusive.
Well, that's how you say that. You're making it all inclusive for people of all levels, whether they're designers or design students or editors of words or just people who need to insert the logo somewhere, they'd still need to know these things.
Yeah.
Exactly. And through this communication, what I can do is we can not only create a stronger, more cohesive image for Be Unique, but it'll give the people a better idea of how they can use their creative gifts or their skills to contribute to Be Unique as a brand, as a vehicle, you know, and so that way, no matter who we are, wherever our audience is, they know exactly what we're doing, even though we're doing an amazing job of doing that already. But this will further drive home that concept that we know exactly who we are and we know what kind of people we want to attract and how we want to do that.
Exactly.
Brand guides will drive that in a more visual way. It will drive that home. And so I'm excited to share more of that with you and with everyone
else. You know, you mentioned that Jennifer said that you and I should collaborate. I'd already started before I figured out, hey, I could just call in. I've got the studio here that allows me to accept callers. If I turn off my computer speaker and just call into the show, maybe this will work. I was taking notes of everything you and Gene were talking about because I already had, and Jennifer and I had not talked about that. And this is how Jennifer and I are so in tune with each other, because I thought, you know what, we should feature Casey in one of our issues. So I love it when Jennifer and I have the same idea at different times and don't even communicate it until much later. And we're like, well, I was just thinking that.
Your soul sisters. I mean, how could you not?
We are. She and I have got a lot to learn from each other. We've got a lot to teach each other. And I just can't imagine managing this organization without her. She's such a key person in my life. I joke to her husband that I'm really her wife. And I said, that doesn't mean you're my husband, though. Don't go
right.
getting any strange ideas, buddy. But she and I just, we talk to each other most of the time, every day. I mean, COVID's kind of put a kink on a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. But there are weeks that we talk 3 or 4 times a day because that's what's required to keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if we get bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, huh?
Ain't no if, buddy. We
I
are
mean,
getting
when,
bigger
I guess
and
I
bigger.
Should say. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's why I love having you on the show, Gene, because you are getting a real good feel for what has to be done. And I think you and Tony did a great job the other day. Should add this on there. I don't know when yet, but I'm actually going to be on the other end of the interview because Tony and Gene are going to be interviewing me. We're going to be doing a show to give Tony the opportunity to run the studio. And then once Tony gets a good comfort level for it, I want Gene to run the studio because the whole purpose of this is to enable other people to do what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not always the only one doing it, just like with Jennifer, she started reaching out and letting other people do more of the audio stuff. And that's very helpful. It frees her up. She and I don't need to be the only people doing everything. And
right.
we're beginning to learn how to delegate. And we're also learning how to trust that the people we delegate to are going to do as good a job as we can do or better.
And that'll come with as we go along.
Yep. It comes with time and just getting a comfort level.
Well, and see, my thing is this show could be done. We could do it every day, you know, different people. Somebody do a different show from a different place anywhere in the world every day.
We can. If we do that, though, we are going to need more sponsors. The sponsors we have pay for a small amount. And you know what? That's coming because if anybody wants to sponsor this show, you can do it for $5 a month. We just need a little extra money to go to the next level so we can get more shows on.
That's awesome. Well, we'll definitely have to get more sponsors. Absolutely. I'll start working on that. Let me talk to you more about it. Yeah.
And so it is. Mary, how can people learn more about how to contribute to the show? I'm so curious.
Say that again, Casey?
Sorry. How can people learn more about how to contribute to the show? Is it through the Blog Talk website, how they can learn how to donate and contribute so that we can keep this going?
The best way to learn, well, there's really not much to learn, but the best thing to do is to go to our website, which is beunique.org, BUNEKE.org, and contact me through that site. Or, as Colin said earlier, just email Mary at BUNEKE.org and
Absolutely.
Say, I'd like to be a sponsor.
We have
a couple of sponsors right now that are paying for us to be able to do this. And it's the basic coverage is what we've got. But if we could get more sponsors, and you know her, you heard the very first ad I did was for another podcast. We do ad trades, and we do accept cash. As little as $5 a month gets your name out here. The beginning intro tell the name of our sponsor, Elisa Kaler, the Little Green Oasis, and Brawler House Museum. I mean, they're giving us a minor amount of money every month just to keep us going. So if somebody else would like to, we can give them their own exclusive spot, or we can add them to our intro. And, I mean, for $5 a month, what's that, $60 a year? That's nothing to some businesses. And like I said earlier, we are in 25 different countries. And since November 28th, which was basically Thanksgiving weekend, the end of November, till now in May, that's 6 months, we've had almost 1,000 listeners. And we're growing every single day. We have
our social media reach last year alone was over 300,000.
Wow, nice.
You stay incorporated. We're really, you know, so we can grow and send things. The more we grow, the more we're going to do.
The more we're going to know and learn. And we'll be able to get more people's names and brands out there to more people. But I would definitely recommend they visit BeUnique.org and learn more about us. Find out who we have sponsored, not sponsored, but highlighted, who we've written about, who we've interviewed. We have, I think, I can't remember how many episodes we've done since November. I can tell you in just a second.
53 episodes, actually.
68.
Oh, since November. Well, 68. Never mind.
Well, no, maybe. Let me look at my archived ones. It doesn't tell me. But I see up on my site 68 published, and I don't know if that counts my upcoming shows or not, because we have quite a few shows. Yeah. Well, in fact, apparently we're pretty popular because we have shows scheduled every Thursday night at 9 o'clock through February of 2021.
Sweet.
Yeah. And
today
we're doing an extra special show because it was just the best time to reach Casey. And we have shows like this from time to time that are on, we call them on demand.
I'm on demand.
You're on demand.
Very, very good.
You're by special request.
Well,
I would like to leave you guys with a couple of words before I say goodbye. But before I give you my parting words, Casey, do you have any words of wisdom you'd like to share with our audience?
I do, and I'd also like to thank some organizations that have helped me become as wise as I am, I guess I could say, but it's to approach things with an open mind and an open heart, and to really find people whose energy matches your own, and you'll realize that not only do you have these little things in common, but your compassion and your drive, if you're able to meet somebody with the same level of love and compassion for something that they are able to meet you with, you can really create great things together. And organizations such as Be Unique and also Redefining Spina Bifida and the Zebra Coalition, and also even working with Valencia College, their graphic design program, I realized that once I'm able to step up to the plate and really bring that energy and that positivity, it opens so many doors for me, and it's created so many beautiful opportunities. And I'm just every day I'm learning to not take those opportunities for granted and to really put all that I have into what I'm working on, because the people I'm working with, I see that their passion and their drive and their determination to empower others, and it's taught me much more than I could ever teach myself from just going about my life, thinking about me, thinking about what I've got going on, thinking about, you know, I've stopped reflecting inward as much as I do, and I've started looking outward towards other people, and I find that by looking to them, I'm learning so much more than I could, especially at my age, too, because at my age, some people don't expect much from me, but I'm just trying to defy that expectation, saying, well, being young is the most powerful thing, because what I don't know is what can empower me more than what I do know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's what I can learn. So
yeah, it's
absolutely
awesome.
I think.
Absolutely. It's awesome.
How about you, Jean? What are your words of wisdom?
Well, I've just got to say it. I can cover everything all at once just by saying, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. And I don't care what it is. There's a way. If you ever don't know the way, let me know. I promise I'll come up with a way you can have fun doing it. All right?
See why I love him so much.
I I am starting to love him just from this conversation, him and his flute playing and everything. But so, Mary, your words of wisdom?
My words of wisdom are go with God and drive with angels. And if you don't drive, take a walk with angels.
There you go. Very nice. Very nice.
Surround yourself with angels, and you will not ever be afraid. You will never be unsure, because they're going to be there to help you. And if you don't believe in angels, call me up. I'll convince you. I guarantee you. I know they exist. And sometimes the angels look like human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people, they expect an angel to have wings and halos and be playing harps. But most of the angels that I've known look just like, well, they don't look like me, because nobody looks like me. But they look like another person. There are angels walking all around that are doing things to make the world better. And they do things to uplift you. They're the people that call you in the middle of the night and say, I was just thinking about you. Are you okay? And then they talk you down from the ledge that you didn't even know you were on. There are angels. Point in fact, when I was 16 years old, I got my driver's license. And my father said, you need to learn to change a tire and change the oil. I'm like, well, the tires are fine. He said, nope. How to change a tire. I always knew how to do it. And my current husband keeps all the air in the tires beautiful. I never have to worry about a flat tire. I used to have a flat tire about once every 3 months in my previous life. But I never, ever, ever had to change a tire. Because within 2 minutes of me pulling off the side of the road with a flat tire and opening the trunk to pull out the spare tire and the jack and whatnot, some angel would stop and help me change my tire. And this went on for 25 years.
Yeah.
I never had to change a tire in my life. And very the only
nice.
Time that I tried to change a tire, the spare tire that was in my car actually didn't fit my car. It was one of them had like five lug nuts. The other one had four. I'm like, well, this is not going to work. But, the angels come from all kinds of directions. Sometimes they look like Florida crackers. Sometimes they look like Georgia rednecks. Other times they look like highway patrolmen. So just be aware there are angels all around, and they will be there to help you when you need them.
Yep.
And with that, I'm going to press this little exit button, and we will say hello again another day.
See you then, guys.
Thank you so much for running the show. You're welcome, Casey.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for bye-bye. Listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.